99 cents. You heard me. Canada's number one source for magic singles has 99 cent shipping on all orders across Canada. Order online at facetofacegames.com.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
Crazy Talk is brought to you by ManaDeprived.com, Canada's number one resource for the latest Magic the Gathering strategy, decks, articles, comics, videos, and podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 17 of Crazy Talk. This is KYT. It's been, I guess we've missed 2 weeks, but we're back because there hasn't been, as we said, we don't want to make... that episode's unless there's been like a major event, whether it be an SCG Open or a GP. But I'm back here with Alex and Frank. Medina could not join us tonight because he's out there somewhere making infinite monies. But we got some people to replace him. We got our legacy superstar, Mark Sun, as always, to fill in for Medina. How's it going, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We've got
how drunk are you, Mark Sun?
Not today. It's feeling a lot better today.
So. He's finished renting his booze, I think. It's gone through your system, Mark?
Oh yeah, definitely.
What time did you start drinking today, man?
Dude, don't make me say it. It's gonna be awful. I mean, there's a special circumstance.
You have to confess, man.
Kids, if you want to be smart and successful, talk, you should drink as much as Mark Sun. Now, Mark Sun. Go.
All right. Well, here, I will preface. My students, after the final exam, chose to buy me drinks at around 12 o'clock.
Okay, we can edit that part out, though, right?
Oh, no.
I just want to hear that 12 o'clock we started drinking.
Oh, my God.
My students.
Your students. You're drinking with your students. What kind of example are you setting for the youth, man?
Mark, you
a drunken Asian man, like it's like the most anarchist thing there is. We've got one Asian drunk in North America, and like we have him on our show, man.
Well, man, it wouldn't be crazy if we didn't have the crazy Asian people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess. So, Mark Sun, are you gonna behave tonight?
Oh yeah, definitely. No, I plan on it. I gotta redeem myself for last time I was on. So
yeah.
Tell your mother, and she's gonna be very disappointed. She's gonna do more math homework.
What happened last time he was on?
Yeah.
He was really drunk.
He was incoherent, and his internet connection was.
I think we actually got it recorded while you like fell down the stairs while holding a beer bottle, right, Mark?
I had the bottle on my desk. I was moving it out of the way.
Okay.
Okay, so we also have Justin Richardson, someone, a friend of mine, and then Alex and Franks, of course. And
someone mentioned on MagicTheGathering.com in Brian David Marshall's article, name dropped by Pascal Maynard. Yes, it's a lot of different things. And then he's like, yeah, he's a local shark. So watch out if you're in the waters, guys. Watch out.
Someone's been on a crazy run. Like, won the champs, then, you know, queued for Nats, then won a PTQ, and has been doing well all the time at any local tournament he plays in. You know, our dear friend, Justin Richardson. How's it going, Justin?
Not bad.
And
so Justin's actually wanted to be on the show since before the show was a show.
Yeah,
I know.
I have to say that.
He was like, he's like, guys, can I be part of your new podcast that you're making? KYT's like, yeah, for sure, man. And then we're doing this podcast. We're gonna start it. And Justin's like, why am I not on it? And Jacob's like, well, because you're boring.
Okay, and we also have Joey. Joey Smith on, a guy who works at Face-to-Face Games. And actually, I'd have to say, I'd have to contribute, I guess, my popularity on the in the local Magic scene due to Joey because I beat him in round one of the first like competitive tournament I've played in a long time or something. It was like, what was that? A PTQ or
it was a 1K?
Just a 1K, but it was like my first competitive tournament in a long time, and beat him with Mana Barbs, and then he talked about it and, you know, pumped, hyped my name up, and here I am.
Talked about it, hyped your name up? What are you talking about? He's like, man, this guy's so bad. Like, I can't believe he won. This guy's so terrible. And he's doing a website now. What an idiot. You know? Typical Joey stuff.
Wow, what an asshole. I learned the truth now.
No, but the thing you need to really know about Joey is that in his profile pic on Skype, he's got a sweet hat. Seriously, it's like the awesomest toque ever.
Dude,
you know?
It's so comfortable.
Yeah, the only thing is right now it's like 37 degrees Celsius outside. For you guys who work in Fahrenheit, that's like 101 or something. I don't know. And yeah, that's, you know, not really toque weather, Joey.
Well, I mean, it is a picture, right? It's not like I'm on video chat.
No, you're supposed to be wearing it what's in the picture. That's how you're supposed to look. That's why I look like
you're
a wild
dog.
Animal. Yeah.
So, welcome to the show, Joey. And because Frank has limited time, Frank, like, why don't you go ahead and interview Mark on his experience of SCG Cincinnati?
Yeah. You were there. It was the. Did you play standard a little bit, or you just played legacy?
I didn't get a chance to. On Saturday, I think I just played a bunch of EDH because that's what.
Boo!
I heard the A-team from last week, and I was like, God, I don't know if I talk about EDH on this podcast. I don't know what he feels about it. But but on Saturday, I didn't have any decks, so I just I showed up. We played some EDH. We traded a little bit, and I got some
EDH is almost like Legacy, because you get to play with Legacy legal cards, pretty much. I know one person who's perhaps on this very cast. Who at Tuesday Night Legacy did not have a Legacy deck. However, he borrowed a deck from Thomas Marson, an EDH deck, took out the two cards that were not legal in Legacy, one of which I think is Mana Crypt, and the other one Land Tax.
It was Sol Ring and Land Tax.
Sol Ring and Land Tax, yes. Thank you, person. Joey. And then Joey, yeah, you grabbed that deck and you played that at Tuesday Night Legacy, right? That EDH deck minus Sol Ring and Land Tax.
Yeah, and I had my general in my deck.
And I believe you actually won your first round, right?
my opponent was playing Show and Tell Dream Halls, and he Show and Telled, and I flipped over my One of War Priest of Thune.
Nice deck.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So Mark, what did you play in Cincinnati?
I played Natural Order Rug on Sunday, and it was really my first Legacy tournament since about a month and a half. So, yeah, I was really out of practice, and it did not go very well for me.
Well, it doesn't seem to be a bad deck, because, like, Alex Bertoncini, who knows how to play, he made top four with that deck.
And I asked him, no.
I've actually noticed an interesting pattern. Every time, Mark Sun, that you've been on this cast, you're always like, yeah, you know, I play this deck. It's a pretty good deck, but it didn't work out well for me. You know? I think, yet the deck seems to have changed, but the players stayed the same.
That was one thing that we brought up when we were at dinner, and somebody pointed out, I was like, man, you never stuck with the deck for, like, more than 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, it's just an interesting idea, but, But the deck, though, was just, I mean, I don't think the deck was bad. I just, it just didn't treat me very well, because in my notes from the tournament, I had, like, five opening hands where I just had Progenitus hanging out without a brainstorm, you know, and I was like, well, I got a mulligan in this hand. And then on one of the mulls, the six, I drew him again. So I don't think it was the deck's fault.
Winning.
It was just Varian's fault catching up with me, so.
That actually, though, this actually, from me trolling you, it actually brings up a reasonably good topic for a conversation. What do you guys think is better? Trying to play the best deck like at every given time, or finding one deck and just sticking with that deck and knowing it like perfectly?
I am starting to believe that knowing one deck perfectly is probably a better call. Or maybe
even,
knowing...
Even if that deck is, like, not the best deck in the format.
Yeah, or maybe even knowing one to two different decks would be nice, so you can adjust based on the metagame.
What are your thoughts, Frankie?
Yeah, I think you have to kind of stick to your deck, because, like, you're gonna learn that deck, and you're also gonna learn the matchup, you know, and, like, you're gonna see, like, how to beat those matchups. And if you're always changing, like, there's kind of, like, too many variables to track, you know, and, like, it's tough, like, when you have kind of, like, a small sample size of, like, of experience, you know, with going with a deck, you know, to know, is it the deck, or is it just me that sucks, you know?
That's Mark.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, we already know from Mark that Mark always switches around decks, right? But what about Frankie?
Mark's in denial, you know? Like, he's always switching, so, like, he can't really blame himself, you know?
Well, I think part of the problem is, despite his, let's say, lackluster results, we still keep on bringing him on this cast and calling him a legacy legend. So he's just like, I can do no wrong. I'm going to just, like, play this garbage deck and play like garbage, and I'm still going to be a legacy legend. But, Frank, do you consider yourself a sticker or a switcher?
Well, I've switched a little bit, but, I think I should stick more to my decks, you know?
I mean, I too am definitely a switcher. I mean, I like... But I think I get really bored really easily, so
yeah.
playing the same deck like over and over for me is not good. Like, I've been playing the same deck now for like 3 weeks and I'm just like fucking bored of it in type two. I'm just like, am I playing this again? And like this deck, like, you like has so many decisions all the time, it's like always kinda different and I'm still getting fucking bored. So
you're gonna switch at the PQ morning.
I probably am, and I mean that definitely does not help me. It probably would be better if I just kept playing the same deck and like just, you know, played it perfectly rather than like 99%, you know. But I don't know. I have a lot more fun switching decks, and I think for me actually number one thing is to have fun. So
yeah.
I don't know. What about you, Justin? Let's go to Justin next.
I like just playing the same deck usually.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're a sticker, right? You've had a lot of success with like blue white control decks as of late, right? You're like the blue white control guy. You're just like, yeah, control.
I played blue white tempered steel. It's not a control deck.
When did you play this?
Last Thursday, I think. Yeah.
So in like a non real tournament.
Yeah.
Before M12.
Yeah,
I just think playing like the same. If you play a good deck, just like keep playing it. It doesn't have to be the best, but as long as you know it.
But you usually try and find the best deck and then stick with that deck, right?
Yeah.
Like Cobbley, Jund, whatever other stuff. You're like, yeah, I'm playing this. I'm gonna play it all season. I'm just gonna get really, really good at it and crush everybody.
Basically.
KYT, you're kind of like Justin in that, right?
I don't know how I was before, like, Cobblade and, like, Coggo and stuff, but I think the best strategy for me, I don't know if it's the best strategy for most people, is just to stick with one deck as long as that deck, as Justin said, is, like, considered one of the top decks. Like, I played Cobblade at any important tournament since, and it's, like, you know, it was obviously considered the best deck, so... You know, obviously stick to my gun. And I think, you know, we've sort of talked about this topic last episode with Medina, you know, suggesting, you know, clearly you should stick with your deck. And he gave examples, but I think the examples he gave are of people who played decks that were actually legitimate. Like, Rug was considered legitimate for when Bertaccini played it. I mean, Cobblade was legitimate when Edgar Flores played it. It's not like they were playing the same shit deck every week or anything, so...
Well, I mean, with you, KYT, you used to always switch around decks right until Cobblade, really, and then you stuck with that deck, and you started doing a lot better, and the fact people in the community started respecting you as a player, rather than just a voice and networker.
Right, I think when I switched to like stuff like Boss Naya the night before, or something, I still made top 8, but it was like I used Boss Naya to beat Joey, but it was like with a lot of bad plays. Definitely.
I mean, I think that's just because you're a boss.
but
didn't feel like I played well at all. But with Ka, you know, got better. I still feel there's something to be said about playing different decks because you're seeing at least different opponents. Maybe at least you're seeing different cards and interacting with them. Because I feel like at the CMT where I was playing with Spellskite against a guy who played Tezzeret, and I guess he was inexperienced and never played against Spellskite and tried to make like an Evil Flowing Chalice a 5/5 or whatever, and I'm like, no, Spellskite's a 5/5. And like, I think it's important that you play with all these different cards so you know all these different interactions so you don't make misplays that are outside of your deck.
Yeah, like, I mean, the big advantage of playing a variety of decks is that you get to know about the format rather than just your specific deck.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've definitely gotten a lot of value out of that, and that's how I can share with you guys all my knowledge and stuff, because I always play a variety of decks, so I know a bunch of things. I know Joey actually is feeling kind of strong about this subject, because Joey's been, right, you've been a big switcher, Joey, right? Now you've kind of want us to find one deck for nationals and then just practice that deck a lot and get really good with it?
Yeah, I've been switching decks a lot, but my biggest problem is that I don't choose very good decks to play. And,
You play a lot of Jolt decks, actually, on the Dare most of the time.
Well, like Alex said, like, to me, Magic is having fun, but lately I've actually wanted to win and, you know, maybe actually make something of it.
Yeah, because, like, all I can remember is all the funny decks you switched to at the...
I can't believe I made you play Allies.
Yeah, the last CMT, Joey Smith played Allies.
Hey, I started off 2-0, 4-0, beating Babadabuchi in a feature match, and then I mulled to 5 the rest of my...
And you beat P-Sams playing Valakut, right? That's
I crushed P-Sams. Killed him turn 4.
Yeah.
So? That deck was awful.
Man, yeah. P-Sams is a Valakut master, okay? If you can beat P-Sams playing Valakut, like, honestly, if I was P-Sams and I'm playing a Legacy tournament, I'd just be like, do any guys have any forests and mountains and Primeval Titans?
And Taigas?
Nah, fuck Taigas. Just mountain, basic lands, man. Basic lands. But, I mean... I think there's definitely value in both ways, but I think if you find like a good if the deck that you like is a good deck, like, you know, Cobblade for instance, and you just keep sticking with that, then I think it's really good. But what about if the deck that you're like have a lot of experience playing is Goblins, and then say Mental Misstep happens, and then the deck becomes considerably less good? At least in most people think it's not as good. Do you keep playing it, or what do you think you do?
Who's this directed to?
Mark's son, Legacy Legend.
Anybody who wants to jump in?
I think you should just, if like the metagame becomes too hostile towards your deck, you should probably just change it.
Because I think Medina, I don't know, he's not here, but his opinion seemed to be that if you're just like a Goblins master, you just keep playing Goblins, even though like Goblins kind of sucks.
I think in Legacy, like, it's more applicable, you know? Because the format is so wide and, like, not everyone can be packing hate, like, every time. But in Standard, you know, like, there's only so many decks that are Tier 1, you know? So if there's a lot of hate for the deck you're playing, like, maybe it's a good idea to switch, you know? Hmm. But, like, In
Legacy, I think it's better to play a deck you know, because it's so diverse.
Yeah, because, you know, like, after just at the Invitational, you know, Mental Misstep had just came out, and, like, some dude, like, the guys that were in the finals were, like, Zoo and Goblin, who apparently, like, those decks weren't good anymore.
But, I lost to Goblins at the GP on day 2.
Yeah, and like I think it was just before GP Providence. I played against a Goblin deck, and you know, like, it's still very explosive. You know, when they get the War Chief, and then they chain that into the guy that draws like Goblins, like
Raid Leader.
Yeah, they can kill you out of nowhere, and like it's still a strong deck.
In regards to the Invitational, though, that's a mixed format tournament, and so the decks that make top 8 and like win are kind of random in a mixed format tournament. Like, for instance, a year at Nationals, there were two copies of this Pickles deck, one played by Dan Kramer and one by Yu Cheng. Now, both those players were excellent players, certainly at the time. But, however, the deck they were playing was absolute garbage. Yet one quarter of the top 8 of Canadian Nationals was this deck. Why was this? Because both of them went 6-0 in limited. And they went like,
so bad.
They went like, you know, 2-1 and then drew 3 times or something stupid, you know? Like, into top 8. And
right. Well, I'm not sure specifically, you know, about the Invitational, like if those guys benefited, you know, that much from their standard play or whatever. But I think in Legacy you can stick more to your deck than in Standard.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason is that the format, since it's so big, so much bigger, right, it changes a lot less with each new set that comes in. Like, it's basically like if you add, you know, 10 liters of water to a bathtub, which is, like, standard, then, you know, it changes quite a bit, the water level. Whereas you add that to, like, you know, one of the Great Lakes, and it doesn't do anything at all. So, I mean, the influence of new stuff changes Legacy way less. So if you find a deck, stick with it, practice it, you know, you're probably not going to lose all that experience, basically, compared to Standard, where the decks keep rotating and like, oh, look, this card's printed, this deck is now garbage. Or look, hey, look, Bitter Blossom got printed, Fairies is now a nuts deck instead of like playing one drop fairy creatures.
Mark, you had a comment?
Oh, yeah, I did. About sticking with your deck and changing it, I think what you said to an extent is true, but there's some situations where, like, the cross-hate for the quote-unquote best deck is going to harm your deck, and, like, the two examples that I can really think of are, like, right now, Merfolk's not really the best deck in Legacy anymore because the red...
Oh, yeah, it's awful right now.
Yeah, the people who are sideboarding in to battle the blue-white control decks, there's going to be a lot of splash damage because... you're going to get hit by those Red Blasts or play Merfolk. I mean, it's just one mana Vindicate. So in the same breath, like, I remember when Reanimator was the huge deck, you know, like it was like last year, I think, before they banned Mystical Tutor. And, you know, if you had a Loam deck, it was almost unplayable. So those are things to consider when you're making your deck choice. Like, Goblins, I think, is deceptively good right now because... you don't really beat goblins by one for one-ing them. You beat them by, you know, you have to generate some sort of card advantage or some kind of way to neutralize the ringleaders and the matrons. Okay, that's all I got.
Good point, Mark Sun. You've sobered up, apparently.
See, it's stuff like that. That is why you are the Legacy legend. The man, the myth, the legend, Mark Sun.
All right, guys. Me, it's pretty fucking late right now, so I'm gonna split. I'm gonna go to bed, and I'm gonna leave you guys to battle it out with your wits. So have a good one, and I'll be back next week with more Frank.
More Frank, yes.
Yeah, more Frank.
Hashtag more Frank. And,
as he says, he told his girlfriend he had the podcast, but she said there was no way.
Yeah, well, my girlfriend came in the living room, and when she saw I was podcasting, like, she gave me that no way look. So I'm gonna go back to bed with her.
Good night, Frank.
All right, bye, guys. Later, Frank.
Ciao, Frank. So now that Frank's gone, I think it's time for the five.
Did we finish Markson's experience?
Yeah. I mean, that's all I really wanted to comment on.
I think that's, he seemed to say everything that he wanted.
That you did bad and that, you know, it was a good deck. That's it?
Dead bad and
I have another shot to do well again in Pittsburgh at the end of the month, so I'm definitely going to head out and I'll probably play the same deck. I think that, you know, it has some bad beats, but the deck is really good. I made some of my own personal modifications on it, which is probably why I did bad, but, you know, we're not going to go into that.
So, Mark-san, do you prefer playing Legacy or trading?
Well, actually, the allure of trading is good, actually, on Saturdays, but, yeah, I've actually taken some time, and the loot that you make from trading, you just kind of, you want to go up, you want to level up again, so I'm making EDH decks with my extra earnings, so to speak.
So would you say that you're more like a lighthouse chronologist or a figure of destiny?
But I still look forward to something.
And which one is Medina? Is he a lighthouse chronologist or a figure of destiny?
He's definitely a lighthouse chronologist.
Oh, yeah? Interesting. And how many level counters would you say he has?
I don't get where this is going.
I don't know either. I'm just trying to put Mark on the spot. Man, if anything, at trading, I would say Jonathan Medina is a fully leveled figure of destiny. And in regards to all other aspects, I'd say he's unleveled. He spent all his mana just doing that, man. He's just got the one creature. Shoutouts to Jonathan Medina, even though you're absent.
I think he's on vacation or something, right?
He's on vacation, actually.
Oh, okay.
Probably needs to spend time with the wifey.
That's not an excuse. Psh, vacation. Man, if I was on vacation, I'd have a better excuse than that. I was on vacation, actually, the past couple weeks. I spent some time up north in canoeing through the rivers and lakes in northern Canada, northern Quebec, I should say. And, you know, in the forest and stuff. And I found out that I really liked all my time in, you know, in the water, swimming or canoeing. And I didn't really like my time, you know, in the forest, you know, carrying the canoe or just camping with all the bugs and stuff. Or the time in the swamp where I'm up to, like, you know, my waist in the bog and, like, you know, this little bayou that we're hanging around. But I really liked one of the islands that, you know, we stayed at and so on. It was cool, away from civilization. But, yeah, basically I figured out I like blue mana better than the other manas. Also, since I've been harnessing my black and green and blue mana, I'm ready to play Team America, a.k.a. Bug Control, which is actually, I had to do that a lot. I had to do some bug control because there's a fuckload of mosquitoes and black flies and all that shit. Man, Like, honestly, after I got back, I had to explain to people, no, I don't have a skin condition. Those are just bug bites. And that was not the fun part of the trip, but it was altogether enjoyable. There's a certain peace that comes over you when you're just alone out there paddling a canoe in the water.
I think
you'd have to be, like, the type of person who likes just sitting back and countering spells to enjoy that experience. You know, I think if you want to tap out for, like, Stoneforge Mystics and stuff, you know, it's not for you. I mean, like, white is, like, the color of civilization, right? It's, like, people getting together, doing stuff, being like, yeah, let's build a moat. It's like, yeah, let's all hang out here. It's like, oh, man, it's the wrath of God, you know? We'll believe in that guy and, like, stuff like that.
Whereas, I have, like, no idea what's going on right now.
I don't know. I'm rambling, but whatever. I'm going with it. So, yeah.
Okay, let's do the five with you, Justin.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Question numero uno. How did you get into Legacy?
Just some local old school players that don't play much. They don't play anymore, actually. They were just like, hey, there's a Legacy tournament at some store. Do you want to go play? I was like, oh, I don't have any cards. And then they let me, like, undergrounds and stuff like that. And I just played and really liked the format and kept playing and kept boring the lines and playing Legacy.
But there was a point where you didn't like it, right?
I really didn't like the survival, like, era. It was really shitty.
What? Okay. Why would you say
that? That was my favorite.
Survival was amazing. Mark said that's where the legend was born.
I know, I would just lose to top deck survival too many times and it was too annoying.
What do you mean top deck survival? Nobody top decks anything in Magic. It's all about what's in your starting hand because you never see any other cards. Oh, wait. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Survival, the problem with survival I found was that you just draw that one spell.
Yeah, exactly. They only have to resolve
counteract
one spell.
All the strategy and like planning. You're like, yeah, I'm setting this up and setting that up. And oh, I counter survival. I'm going to untap and have this in play and that. And then they're like, hey, look, I drew another one. And then you're like, fuck. You know?
It's kind of like weird that I like Stoneforge but hate survival. So I don't know. I just didn't like.
All right. I think the real reason was that you played Stoneforge and you didn't play survival. I think like,
I played
all the people
survival,
who actually play and like enjoy playing the decks of broken cards love those broken cards and are just like, why the fuck did you ban this? Fuck these wizards! And then, you know, the people who didn't are like, thank you, wizards. Oh my god, it was so stupid. Like, that really
Yeah, that's
it.
True.
And then everybody else is like, oh, fuck. And then Stoneforge's like, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you guys are like, switch positions. Because I bet my son was like, yeah, Stoneforge is gone. Die, motherfucker, die. You know?
That was a sad day.
Which brings us to our interesting question, too. What's your favorite Magic card and why?
It's actually Rude Awakening. Just because it's like a really aptly named card. First time I played against it, like I was playing Affinity. It was just like, oh, this guy's dead on board. All he has is like 10 land in play. And then he played Rude Awakening in Twine and killed me. And then I just always played it in my Tooth and Nail decks and just love that card because you just win when you have 10 land in play and you have literally nothing else and you just win. It's the best.
Also because you're just like a really rude guy yourself, right? You're just like, hey, what are you doing?
At the time I like never talked because I was like really shy. But.
Yeah, but like now you're like the most famous troll in Montreal. Seriously, like honestly, you guys have you heard of the Champlain Bridge? That's where Justin lives. He lives right underneath that.
And dangerous to live under there. It's falling down.
Question three: what would you like to be known for in the Magic community, and why? Why should we care?
I just want to be considered like one of the best players. I just play tournaments to win, and I like winning, and just want to be known as a good player.
But what about deck building and?
Not really. I just want to be known as a good player.
So basically, what? Justin wants to be known as a boring good player.
Sure.
What about writing?
I guess.
You want to be known as a decent, you want to be known as a decent writer of MTG?
Hopefully, I'm already known as that. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, guys, you should read Justin's articles. Like, you know, they're the best thing ever when, like, you're really, really tired, but you can't actually fall asleep.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, man.
No, I'm kidding. You actually get some good content there. They may be a little dry for my taste, personally, but, you know, you actually learn something.
Yeah.
So.
Question four. You're going to get into a bar fight, and you can pick one member of the Magic community to get your back, or have your back. Who's your pack when pick one?
Oh, wow. I have no idea. I'm going to have to say Chris DeRosha, because he's really big, and I don't think anyone's going to fight him.
Yeah, see, the funny thing about that is that actually, like, Chris DeRosha's been, like, mugged, like, five different times. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like, but... and honestly, if you know, you're doing profiling for, like, people who get mugged, you know, you think like old lady with their handbag, you know, like other chick, you know, with like, you know, dripping eyeliner or whatever, you know, like you skinny little guy like Justin or whatever. And then you don't really think like, you know, 500 pound, like 6'2" or whatever, like muscular, well, just like also large, like Chris DeRocha, you know, like he's not this guy you think of as getting mugged. Nobody's like, yeah, these three guys came after me with guns after I'd left the bank. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
this is
Canada, you know, like people don't normally have guns here. You know, normally we're just like, hey, how's it going, eh?
Downtown,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're supposed to just stab each other. No guns, just stabbing, okay? Come on. Let's keep this nice and clean. But, yeah. So, I don't know. But, I mean, that's definitely a reasonable response, because there's been many a time I've, like, walked home on a dark night with, like, Sarosha, and I felt like perfectly safe because like, honestly, if like it was just the two of us, we're walking, and like somebody comes to mug us, I just run away. They won't even notice.
Justin, no honorable mention for Luang Biwang.
Missing out. Ever go to
Fasa Fast today, and a shout out to him for providing me with awesome Chinese food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not
order the actual Chinese stuff on the menu, not the English stuff.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know, we went to the Chinese place across the street, and like, I got him to do all the ordering as if it was for him that they were getting the food. And then like, I actually ate it, and it was actually really good. Like, before, every time I've been to that place, it's been garbage.
Yeah.
Man, he's been going to face-to-face games fairly often now, even on Thursdays.
Well, he's actually getting better. I mean, like...
No. No.
Well, how many monsters did he drink today?
Yeah.
Not actually, because I think he doesn't work,
quit his job or something.
So he's not as, like, stressed out all the time.
So
he's a really nice guy, just like,
yeah.
I don't consider him my top 10 Magic players. Say.
Is he in your top 10 worst Magic players?
No comment. So, question number five.
Well, I just wanted to say to our listeners who don't know who we're talking about, it's just a Magic playing friend of ours who...
Check him out on Deck Tech on Magic Prime. Or you can see him in the interview from pre-release that KYT did.
Who every Friday after work, he says he's really tired, and instead of sleeping, he opts to drink five cans of Monster Energy drinks. So apparently they're not as unhealthy as big. I would expect him to be dead by now. So.
Yeah, it says on the side of a Monster can, only drink one of these per day. So yeah, I don't know.
Also, he's a largish guy though, and you know like. They also say that because imagine you're like, you know, freaking skinny waif like the Professor Mazaros. And, you know, you drink like two of those and you're just like, and then you walk into a car or something. And then like, you know, because you're just inebriated, like you're like, oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Everything feels so warm. And then, but, you know, Guan Di Wong, also known as Ivan, you know, I think he can probably take it.
He said that he'd be willing to at GP Montreal to drink a monster after every round he plays.
Oh man.
I don't want to kill him, so I'm going to go through with this.
This sounds freaking stupid. I don't know why I'm surprised, though. Sorry, Lad Biwang.
But like, if he does die, I know it might get traced back to me.
He needs to sign a consent form for
you. Yeah,
he has to sign a form, you know, indemnifying, you know, saying like I do not hold KYT responsible for my untimely monster wrist death or whatever.
I drank these monsters on my own will.
Yeah. See, like monster, they have to put that on their cans because otherwise, like. What if somebody drinks two and like gets a little ill or whatever and just sues them?
Because people die from it.
Isn't that how it is in like the States though too? Like Mark Sun, that people are just like, "Hey, I slipped on your floor because my kid spilled some orange juice. I'm gonna sue you."
Yeah, dude. I mean, right now, like, yeah, the legal issues, man. You can do anything and get sued. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, like I heard a story of a guy who broke into this couple's house or whatever, and like was stealing from them, but accidentally locked himself in their garage. And was stuck there because they were on vacation for like 2 weeks and like almost like, you know, was starting to starve to death or whatever before they came back. And then he sued them. Like, and he won.
Did he win?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, really.
America!
those are things we don't show in the brochure when you move here, so.
Okay, Alex, you can do question five now.
Question number five, Justin. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
I have no good answer for this. I'm not a really crazy person. Sorry, what?
What about a shitty answer, then, if you have no good answer?
I have, like, a shitty magic answer. I, like,
sure.
Once played Battle of Wits in a tournament. It's pretty crazy.
I don't know. Crazy, maybe not. Stupid, definitely. No.
I'm not a crazy person.
Top 8 ever, I actually convinced this guy, Stefan, who if that I told him I'd pay his entry fee if he played Battle of Wits. and it was extended PTQ, and he actually played it. So I got to play his deck instead, Heartbeat combo deck, and I top-baited that PTQ. But what was really funny is, yeah, I did have to pay his entry fee, but actually the sleeves for his Battle of Wits deck cost twice as much as the entry fee for the tournament. So let's see who was the winner there. Oh, yeah, he went 0-2 drop as well. So I don't know. I came out ahead, I feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, Battle of Wits, that deck's super fun. The best time ever with Battle of Wits I had was playing two-headed, the only time I ever played two-headed giant constructed. And I was playing me and my partner were playing like Battle of Wits decks because everybody else was playing mill. So it was just like, it was pretty funny because just like, yeah, good luck milling me, bro. And like the deck doesn't only have Battle of Wits as a win condition, right? It had like Maloku.
Yeah,
and,
it has actual ways to win.
It has like, you know, big beat sticks and just like attack. And the deck was about like card advantage and like tutoring and all that shit. But yeah, that's pretty uncrazy, Justin.
I am sorry.
Stop.
I have no Frank stories. I'm not that cool. I never had crazy roommates that attacked me while making pasta.
Well, pastas, okay? With
pastas? I can't say it like that. I'm Italian.
Right. So, Justin, you played Legacy this Tuesday, and you've been playing a blue-white list for the past, I don't, since, like, after...
It's been a while, let's just go with that.
Yeah.
Well, I played it, like, at the CMT, which was, like, over a month ago, and then I played it on Tuesday, and that was pretty much it. I might have played it, like, once, one other time, but it's only, like, the third time.
So you're really liking the deck, Justin? Feel it has all the weapons it needs?
Oh, yeah, the deck's, like, pretty retarded. Stoneforge Mystic's way too good.
You're playing Stoneforge Mystic? Because before you weren't, right? Before you were playing Drew Levin's list that didn't have Stoneforges?
Oh, yeah, now I'm playing the Stoneforge Mystics.
And Batter Skull?
Yeah, Batter Skulls.
You're battering people's skulls?
I'm skull-fucking them bad.
Like EJ Seltzer on Twitter, right?
Oh yeah,
I'm sure you battered his skull and he was playing mono red and you're just like, hey, I'm gonna gain some life, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. I milled him like for 30 cards with Sword of Body and Mind also.
So what is your thoughts on Sword of Body and Mind? Do you think it's the right sword to be playing or do you think would you rather have a different sword?
It's either that or sort of Feast and Famine, because you really need the pro green, because every creature that's good is, like, green, like Nuketall, Tarmogoyf, Nether Reliquary.
And why do you need protection from Nuketall?
In attack fast? I don't know. With, like, any, like, a Stoneforge or whatever. Or
if you're just playing a Nuketall deck, aren't you just, like, getting Batterskull and saying, ha ha, you suck, you're 3-3? Or just, like, Stoneforge, I'm a 3-4, isn't that cool, 3-3 Nuketall? And you're just like, yeah, you're playing Zoo, screw you.
Well, I also mentioned time ago I find out that Reliquary, which the Nuketall deck does play.
Yeah, that guy is good to have protection from.
Yeah. And so it's either Body Mind or Feast and Famine, and Blue is good against, like, Jace and Merfolk. So I think it's probably the right sword to play. Unless there's a lot of, like, black decks, then you can probably play Feast and Famine.
So what decks do you think lose to the blue-white, beat the blue-white deck, sorry? Does the blue-white deck have any, like, bad matchups, or do you feel it's just, like, a 50%-ish deck, like, maybe slightly advantaged against some decks, slightly disadvantaged against others?
I think it's, like, really bad against the natural or rogue deck, I think. Because it only has, like, 4 Force Wolves, which they also have. They have just, like, I have no good answer to Progenitus in my main deck anyway. And just have a bunch of hard-to-deal-with cards. And the other creature decks, I think it's pretty good for the blue-white deck to beat. You just batter-scalp them, and they can't really win.
Yeah, the blue-white deck's definitely really solid. I kind of find it a bit boring, like, just playing Stoneforge Mystics, because I played enough Stoneforge Mystics, I feel. Like, I don't feel like I ever have to cast a Stoneforge Mystic again and go, like, untap, play Batterskull into play. I've done that enough.
So fun.
One PTQ with like 7 mirror matches of Cobblade was enough for me. Thanks.
I love mirror matches. I don't really care. I just like playing the decks.
So, how about we talk about some of these decks from the SCG, since we're doing these things after SCG, so we have stuff to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this Manaless Dredge deck before when Medina was very hyped about it, right?
Yeah, except there's been some changes.
Yeah.
For instance, one big one, Phantasmagorian.
Yeah, I was just reading that card.
Discard 3 card. Relevant part about it, it's a creature, okay? So like, it's a black creature, so you can remove it to your Icarids. That's pretty relevant. It's a 6/6. You're never going to ever cast that guy, and you're very unlikely to be reanimating him. However, you can discard 3 cards to return Phantasmagorian from your graveyard to your hand. Yeah. So you discard 3 probably dredge cards or cards you won in your graveyard, which is basically like every card in your deck. And that guy gets the graveyard. And that seems like a pretty cool addition. Basically, right, because John was saying that used your Gigapede, right, to discard cards, but you can only do it once.
Yeah.
This Phantasmagorian lets you just discard 3 cards one shot, which is obviously...
If you have, like, one in your hand also, you can just, like, pitch your whole hand, basically.
Yeah.
Huh.
And the deck now is not Manaless. It has 3 Dakmor Salvage, the Dreadland.
Oh, so deck's mislabeled.
So I believe, however, that you are very unlikely to be playing those lands most of the time. I think mostly you're just dredging them. However, the deck does have 4 Bloodghast, right? The deck now has 4 Bloodghast, is another new addition. So since you dredge into those and you dredge into Dakmor Salvage, you play it, you return your Bloodghast.
Oh, it cut all the shitty Chancellors, right?
Yeah, basically that's what it cut. The really crappy Chancellors, which is kind of was cool. Like, I actually like the red Chancellor a bit, because you got a body, but... the other Chancellor seems super sketchy. As in, like, hey, John, why are you making an argument for this card being in the deck sketchy?
Yeah. They, like, didn't really do anything.
So in the sideboard plays 4 Contagion, which is pretty sweet. Kills random dorks. Though, I guess...
Pretty much for like, Yggdrasil and Gaddock Teeg.
They didn't really deal with Gaddock Teeg, though.
Oh, no, not Gaddock Teeg. Yeah, my bad. What?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's one card that actually confuses me a lot. Is
so I'm not really sure. Like, what you're. I mean, obviously, Yggdrasil is a card you want to kill, but does anybody play that card? I don't think anybody plays that card. That's just what someone told me today. Pardon?
Someone just like told me that's what it played on Tuesday for. So I don't really know.
Okay, because I've played Legacy for a while now, and I have. And I have never seen anybody cast an Yggdrasil Jailer or even seen somebody have it in their deck or sideboard ever. So, I don't know.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
I've seen it before in Vintage, but in Legacy people always play some other hate card if they even play any graveyard hate, because the graveyard deck, right, the dredge deck is such a small portion of the metagame that it's often the gamble to just not play any graveyard hate at all and just, like, cross your fingers and hope that you don't play against that deck. Which is one of the reasons why decks like that are pretty successful, because a lot of people often just don't have the hate for it. But other than the Contagions, the sideboard still looks fairly random. If like one Inkwell
is one of
reanimation targets.
Yeah. Like, Inkwell Sphinx. One
of Gigapede too, which is pretty random again. Like, I don't know.
This kind of seems,
I don't know. My guess would be that this guy's like, yeah, I got this dredge deck, I got all 4s of all these things, what reanimation guy should I play? And they're like, you know, I got Contagions from my sideboard because I want to be able to kill those other things, I don't know what I'm thinking of, but I guess Meddling Mage? Whatever.
Yeah, maybe Meddling Mage.
And then you're like, yeah, and I don't really have any other sideboard cards because the deck doesn't have any mana, so I can't really play sideboard cards. And it's like, hey, you know all these reanimation targets that I was deciding between which one, and I decided to play Iona in the main? I'll just play one of each of them in the sideboard. So for each specific you know, scenario, I can just swap them in.
This is so random. Oh my god.
So I don't know. Seems pretty.
I guess. Well, like it never actually like uses this sideboard, right?
Yeah, maybe that's why.
I think it's like kind of fair, but it is really random.
So I believe he won the finals and conceded for the points to Caleb Dierwart.
Yes.
But he got the trophy or whatever. And Caleb was actually playing a pretty cool deck too. Like, it's like the closest kind of zoo deck that I could see myself playing in Legacy. It contains Jace the Mind Sculptor. Oh yeah.
I heard that card's good.
However, it has 3 Grim Lava Masters, 3 Knight of the Reliquary, 4 Noble Hierarch, 2 Quasali Prime Mage, 2 Tarmogoyf, 4 Wild Nacodol, 4 Brainstorm, 4 Bolt, 3 Mental Misstep.
Holy cow.
Swords, 3 Jace, 3 Green Sun Zenith. So, I don't know, either Caleb had like an aneurysm or he decided to play 3 copies of like all these really good cards.
But, well, he does that in like all his decks that I've seen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty funky. You know, Funky Town, whatever. Like, I mean, he's got 2 Tarmogoyfs. Like, why are you playing 2 Tarmogoyfs, brah? You're playing Zoo. Like, just like slam that guy down there, say, what's up? I'm a frickin' Lurgoyf. You know?
This just seems like suboptimal match order of deck, pretty much. Except you get to play, like, Knight of the Reliquary.
Yeah, like, Knight of the Reliquary is sweet. And what they're really playing, Mental Misstep is sweet, and Jace the Mind Sculptor is sweet, and obviously Grim Lavamancer is good. But why are you only playing 3, brah? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't get it. I mean, his deck's kind of reminds me a little bit of Mythic, because it like has Noble Hierarchs and stuff. And you're just like, has 1 Dryad Arborist, he can, you know, Green Sun Zenith for it. And your like plan is often to just go like turn 3 Jace or whatever and just be like, ha 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 ha, Jace, I win. And
yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of a plan, but I'd like the deck that can just like, it can throw out guys, and then when like the opponent's like, yeah, yeah, play swords, play path, play swords, play path, and you're like, play Jace, and they're like, oh shit.
You also have like Brainstorm to dig deeper.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, guys. This is not the strangest Zoo deck we've seen do well at a Star City Open. I believe one contained 250-ish cards in Battle of Wits. So,
yeah.
So, I don't know. So he's got some interesting stuff in the sideboard. He's got 2 Phyrexian Metamorph, which actually is a card that has been picking up steam in Legacy, as I think we might have said on our last cast or the one before that, you know, there's the Merfolk deck playing Metamorphs.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that card seems pretty sweet.
I actually tried it in my sideboard at one point, though I hadn't been super impressed. But I wasn't playing Merfolk. I think you really want to play it in a deck that your creature count is very high.
Yeah, and so you actually have stuff you want to copy.
Right. So you have stuff of your own to copy, and you have stuff of your opponents to copy. So, namely, like, they play Show and Tell, you say, ah. They say, Emrakul, you say, Phyrexian Metamorph, fuck yeah! You know? Stuff like that. But, you know, and he's got Aeon Mind Sensors, Ancient Grudge, Red Elemental Blast, Submerge, Gaddic Teague, a Thrun the Last Troll, and I have no idea what this last card is.
We can't talk about this card.
Wait, let me just look. I don't care. We can talk about it.
Add 1 colorless mana to your mana pool. Target creature gains protection from artifacts until end of turn. Okay, that seems reasonably cool.
Against
Batterskull.
Batterskull.
Other random equipments, too. So, yeah.
Right. So Mark, this is your tech apparently.
Yeah, it's funny because at the Invitational in Indy at the beginning of June, I was playing Zoo, traditional Zoo, so no Mental Missteps or any Jaces or anything like that. But I wound up beating Caleb actually in the Swiss on Sunday. So, and one of the cards that we were talking about, like he asked me, you know, hey, what do you sideboard in for blue white? And I had a pile of crap because I threw together a sideboard last minute, but like everything that I put in was like theoretical. So like I was boarding in like Sulfuric Vortex and like a bunch of weird cards to battle against the Batterskull decks. And I was like, you know, we were talking, we got done, he started to walk away. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I got one more card that I was thinking about. And we started talking about this Tower of the Magistrate. So like on Saturday I see him again, because we've seen each other at a couple PTQs in between, but on Saturday, I see him again. We start talking. I'm like, hey, what are you playing? He's like, well, I'm playing this Blue Zoo list I wrote about last week. And I'm like, why don't you throw a tower in there? So, like, and it's funny because the only copy that I had on me was a Chinese copy. So I can imagine how miserable his opponents were the entire day. Because, like, it's just like, oh, yeah, I'll play this land. And they're like, oh, sure, whatever, you know. And, whatever. Well, yeah, and he wound up getting a lot of people. Because I remember he came up to me after one round and was like, dude, I just played against Kadolta Forge Master. And the guy had a wasteland and was like, you know, he was looking at the board position and the guy knew what it did apparently, because he just knows random cards in Legacy. But like the guy was like, yeah, I'll just wasteland your tropical island. And Caleb's like, really? Like, sure. You know, he like bends it, and then the guy's like, attack with everything. And he's like, well, give my knight protection from artifacts and, you know, eat your whatever. And the guy was like, holy crap, like. But he removed a lot of Batterskull germs too from so it was pretty sweet. Good. Like I think that if your deck can support 3+ knights, that it's not a bad idea to have a tower in the sideboard.
But and, like, would you also just, you know, I think I would recommend a Chinese tower if you can get one.
I mean, just for the reason your opponents.
Yeah,
like,
no, seriously, because they'll just be like Mark Sun said, they'll be like, yeah, whatever. And they'll be like, attack me with my guy, and I'll equip my guy with Batterskull, equip my other thing. And you're like, okay, you're like attacking, like, Tower Magistrate blocking my Tower Wife. Like, what just happened? You just got Wrath, bro. And like, yeah. But also, I need to correct myself. If your opponent plays Show and Tell and puts in Emrakul and you put in Phyrexian Metamorph, you cannot actually copy the Emrakul because coming in at the same time. So
it would be funny, Alex, if you actually did that in the game. You're like, what's up? Metamorph!
More likely they show and tell Emrakul, you put in like a land or whatever, and then you untap and you hard cast the Metamorph.
Yep.
And then they force a will and you say, oh, why am I playing a fair deck? You know? Something like that.
Yeah, I really like the Metamorphs though, because it's like again, it's like another out to Progenitus, and if you did really want a copy, you know, if you wanted more threat density, like boarding it into a deck like this is really, really good for you.
Yeah.
I was actually like, when I was playing Natural to Rug on the weekend, I was really scared of the new clone, the Phantasmal Image from
M2. Oh yeah,
because that one it's a lot more, and it's more reasonably costed for the blue decks, and it doesn't matter what you're copying because you're likely to be copying a legend anyways that's going to die. So I was more worried about that card, but you know, now that Metamorph's picking up steam, it's pretty much the same effect.
The other cool thing with Metamorph though is, of course, you can copy people's like Jits and Swords and Batterskulls.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, copying a Batterskull is huge value.
Plus, though, if the interesting thing is the Tower of the Magistrate seems to get better as more people play Phyrexian Metamorphs, because you can give your own guy protection from their Metamorph. It's like, haha, you know, my guy's protection from your guy, except otherwise they're exactly the same. You know? Fun stuff like that. But
I was going to back up a little bit and talk about the Dredge deck.
Okay.
Looking at the mana list, Dredge list, like, we kind of already went over the sideboard and like what the relevancy of all those creatures are, like, and the way that the sideboard is broken down, I think Contagion, in my opinion, I don't think it was boarded in a lot on the weekend, because Contagion is actually a pretty poor card, especially for a deck that wants to have a grip of seven to be able to draw another card and discard. So like I was really confused. That was the only card that didn't quite, you know, gel with me. And honestly, like, I guess it makes sense a little bit, because there's not really a lot more removal in that color, or in that, for the mana that he has, because, you know, he can't just be like, oh, let me play Chain of Vapor, because he doesn't have any mana-producing lands, so, but the sideboard is actually, pretty well-devised. Like, he has flex spots that he can change in the main deck. So, like, in the main deck right now, he has one Woodfall Primus and an Iona, so, which is pretty good against the field right now. So like, but if you play against blue base control, you probably want an Inkwell Leviathan. So he just takes those two flex spots and picks the two best creatures when he goes to sideboard. So I think that was a really smart plan on his part. And I think that the deck was really good, just because you know, graveyard decks are they're always there, but you know, usually when you're building a sideboard, you're like, well, it's like 3% of the metagame. And if you think you can dodge it, that's usually what you go for. But so he had an advantage already because people weren't prepared. And then against blue, where basically your entire graveyard, every time you dredge some amount of cards, you're basically drawing that because you have infinite access to your graveyard. So if you can out-card advantage the blue decks, then your deck's going to be pretty strong. And then, of course, the last thing, the reason that he was doing so well is because the deck wants to naturally be on the draw. So for everybody who wins the die roll, it's like he wins the die roll. And if he wins the die roll, he chooses the draw, and he has that advantage too. So everything kind of came together, I think, for this deck, but I don't think it's going to be very good in the future.
Damn.
As people figure out how to battle against
it. I think one of the cool ways to play against it is that you want to be on the, if you know you're against that deck, you're like, you win the die roll and you're like, I'll draw first.
I had a chance to, like, I caught up with Caleb right before I left, and, you know, he was getting ready for top 8, and we were actually joking about that. He was like, well, if I get paired against the dredge deck, I'm just going to be like, yeah, if I win the die roll, I'm going to just draw. So, I mean, that sets them back. That's essentially being on the play. Against a deck like this, so.
Well, I mean, like, being on the draw against them, their plan is they're going to just say go in their first turn, and then their next turn, and they're going to draw, and then discard. So, it's the same thing as you being on the play, except you actually just get an extra card.
Mm-hmm. I think it's right to draw, even against a regular dredge. Just because they need to do that anyway, if regular dredge, because they're not going to resolve, like, a putrid imp or something through mental misstep in force will anymore.
Then they just then nobody should be playing regular dredge anymore if that's the case, right?
Well, I think regular dredge is a lot different. Like they have two lines of play when they have their opening seven. Like they can go for the discard outlet route, and like you can blow them out because if you counter that discard outlet, they have to, you know, draw and hope to get to seven cards and discard. But like on the same, you know, in the same breath, like if you choose to play against them, you're still giving them that discard outlet. So like either way, if you don't have a counter spell for their first discard outlet, I mean, it's going to be the same result pretty much.
Well, I mean, the real advantage in some ways of regular dredge is the fact that you're able to mulligan with the deck. Hmm. You can, like, you know, you could take a mulligan if your hand doesn't have dredger in it and just, you know, go down. You could go down to low hand or whatever. And if you're not against a blue deck, you probably just kill them turn two or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
This deck can't mulligan ever.
this deck is like, we're playing all the crappy dredgers, the Shambling Shells and the Dakmor Salvages, so like, it definitely is looking for a lot more density because it just, yeah, it has no card selection at all. Like, there's no card stuff.
Yeah, and this deck's really actually is hurt a lot more by people going like, turn one Swamp, Thought Sees You, because they're just like, oh, I'll take your, like, I'll just take your Bridge from Below or whatever, and you're just like, damn. Yeah. I draw go, like, you know, it's like a time walk. So, I don't know. I mean, however, if you're just expecting to be playing a field full of blue decks, and a lot of people who often, you know, in Legacy, you're often against people who just don't know what your deck's doing. So, in that sort of field, this deck's awesome. And, I mean, certainly if people aren't playing as much graveyard hate, and it's pretty good. I definitely think the Contagion seemed pretty random in the sideboard, and I agree, I think they weren't boarded in a lot. I don't think many sideboard cards, I mean, I can see, like, you know, 4-5 of these maybe getting boarded in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't, some of them, I don't really see where you want, like, Lawan, you know, when do you really want to board in Lawan?
I mean,
I guess
Lawan,
once you
really,
if you get like Iona into play and then you bring back, then you reanimate Lawan, but
yeah, like the Lawan is pretty random because I don't think like to get to the amount of cards in your graveyard where you could actually, you know, return safely a Lawan against Merfolk. I mean, that's almost impossible, I think. But
like, why is it not a Blazing Archon or a
Blazing Archon
or an Ancestor's Chosen? Or an Elesh Norn,
I think Elesh Norn is excellent against Merfolk to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely solid, especially because you're usually getting a bunch of tokens to go along with it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can buff up your own zombies. I mean, at that point, it's pretty much one more. But if you're giving your opponents a double engineered plague, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think some of these seem redundant, like, because I don't really see yourself boarding into way more than, like, the just the two reanimation targets, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, the way that a deck operates, just looking at it from a theory standpoint, like, you can't board out any of the integral parts. Like, you need the recurring, the Blood Gas, the Icarid, and the Nether Shadow to recur for Dread Return, and like
you need all the dredge cards, because otherwise you have to mulligan and you can't mulligan.
Like, I like the fourth Gigapede in the deck. I mean, I can imagine that to get it, if you need an extra discard outlet, that's what you boarded the fourth one in for.
And right, like, but what are you boarding out though? The deck, like,
I mean, if you, the thing is, like, I guess in the grindy matchup, like, you don't really need a second Dread Return target, so you can probably cut something. I can pretty much imagine that, like, against, let me see. I actually look at the sideboard for once, because I took a glaze earlier. Hypothetically, I guess, if you are playing a deck like Burn, maybe, you could just put in the Ancestor's Chosen, you could take out the Iona and the... Oh, no,
I think you bring
sense.
In Sphinx of Steel Wind as well, anyway.
That's
right?
That's true, yeah. Well, there is a matchup that I believe that you can return target. But, like, it's the grindy, like, draw, discard, go kind of matchups that you just want one target in. And, like, you could definitely, like, if you want to get the engine going faster, that's where you want the Gigapede.
Right, so, I mean, basically, to sum it up, I think, right, other than the Contagions, all other 11 sideboard one-ofs are basically competing for the same, like, one slot in the deck.
Mm. Yeah.
So you have, like, you're boarding out one card and you're boarding in one card, and they're just, like, 11 different choices. And you happen to have four Contagions, which you're, like, never boarding in because I don't see what you're cutting. Because, like, I have just no idea, like, what...
I have no idea how this deck, like...
Like, how can you afford to do that? I mean, I guess you go turn one, draw to eight cards, discard Phantasmagorian, and then right?
Because yeah,
then you
yeah,
have discard
the...
three cards. But before that, like, I don't know. If you're doing something else, it seems awkward. Phantasmagorian seems like basically the really big addition to this deck.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of
concern. Discarding three and discarding one is different.
There's definitely a lot of concern for, like, Leyline of the Void, because there's no way to cast an out Leyline of the Void without using some amount of mana. And, like, in mono black, there's no way to get rid of enchantments, period. But that's going to be a concern. Like, I mean, obviously he took advantage of the metagame and he didn't run into any Leyline of the Voids. But, like, this in the same way, like, Contagion, you can't kill a Gaddock Teeth, which is arguably, like, this deck's biggest enemy, because it shuts down Dread Return as well. So I'm pretty surprised. But, you know, if people didn't believe that those cards were good sideboard cards, then he definitely made out.
I mean, I think if you want to fight, like, Leyline, the way to do it with this type of deck is to play, like, in your sideboard, four Dryad Arbor, four, Reverence of Silence. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Dryad Arbor is relevant. Like, it's basically a free creature you can just play from your hand, right? You can just play it from your hand for free, and then play Reverend Silence, kill their thing, you know? And you can sack it to Cabal Therapy, Dread Return, and you will get tokens from Bridge from Below.
It also returns Bloodgast if you play it.
Yeah. So I think that's what I would play in my sideboard over Contagion. I mean...
Contagion and some reanimation targets.
Yeah, like, I don't really see where you're bringing a Chroma, for instance, and Lawan. Like, Chroma, Lawan, those seem kind of, like, iffy to me.
Yeah.
I think a Chroma's pretty good against Goblins, actually, if that was ever going to be a significant part of the metagame again.
I would just get back Elesh Norn, though. Why would you...
Elesh Norn or Sphinx of Steel Wind?
Well, Sphinx is naturally weak. Well, here's the thing. Like, a Chroma has protection from black and red, so it has the ability to dodge Sting Scourger.
So does Inkwell Leviathan, though, as well.
Well, Inkwell Leviathan's... Okay, so there's Warren Weirding, right? So Warren Weirding answers Inkwell pretty well.
But how is Inkwell and a Chroma different in terms of Warren's Weirding? I mean,
let me go back to my original point. But, like, the reason that I like a Chroma better than Sphinx of the Steel Wind is because the pile drivers can get through Sphinx of the Steel Wind, and... You know, usually that's going to be the goblin that you're blocking if you're ever in that situation. So, like, I played Reanimator for a long time, and I never actually could get there with Sphinx, but most of the time I just wanted a Chroma instead. And the issue with Elesh Norn is, she gets bounced by Sting Scourger, so I didn't like that either. Yeah, I guess the Chroma does have a weakness to weirding, but she does have the advantage of killing Piledriver, which is arguably your biggest enemy.
True. I mean, one of the big things, though, I find most people, when they're playing reanimate style decks, they have too many different targets when they, you know, less would do, you know, what more does. And I mean, here, you know, sure, you've got a lot of slots here, but again, if you ever go against Leyland of the Void, you're dead. I would rather, you know, have, let's say, no contagions and have like four less of these reanimate things, because it seems like overkill, and so many of these are just really, really similar. It's just like, in one scenario, it's going to be better. I would rather have like that be the scenario where, okay, I can't win if this happens, instead of, oh, look, if he has this and this and this and this and I'm playing against goblins, then I'd rather have an Achroma than an Inkwell Leviathan or an Elesh Norn or whatever.
Mm.
So, I don't know. That's my opinion, however, but I mean, you can stick with this sideboard and stuff. I just, if I were picking up this deck and if I were recommending this to any of my friends, I would play four Dryad Arbor, four Reverend Silence.
That's really good. Especially the synergy with the deck overall. So playing a free creature, playing a free land to get back Bloodghast. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there's a lot of utility that Dryad Arbor offers to the deck.
Yeah.
Hmm. Alex, do you think this could actually be like a very good deck, or?
I mean, I'm hurt. After a certain point, I stopped being a fan of Dredge. I used to be a big Dredge fan. I was planning to play it actually at my first ever regionals, but my deck was actually stolen by the tournament organizer, no less.
What?
Yeah, I know. I got it back 2 years later. And I'm like, you know, he was pretending it was his deck because we were testing for extended season. Okay, this is Moro, our local tournament organizer and slash scumbag. Anyways, and so we're testing for extended, and he like pulls out this deck and it's got these like foil gemstone caverns and this other stuff. And I'm like, hey, that's my deck that I, like, was stolen from me at regionals 2 years ago or whatever. He's like, oh yeah, prove it. I'm like, well, on the back of one of these cards, I wrote my name. When I pull it out, and it had my name on it. I'm like, fuck you. Unfortunately, like, the whole deck was worth way less at that point, but you know.
Wow.
But I got it back, had like, you know, had Ravnica duels, which at the time had been worth like $20 a pop or whatever.
Did he at least thank you for letting him use the deck?
No, man.
No, you don't know this guy.
You know.
That's awful.
Even after I showed that the card had my name on the back, he was very reluctant to give it back to the deck. So I don't know.
Did he say that he just found it or something?
Oh, like, yeah. What? I mean, that's clearly what he said, but I don't know. This guy's actually stolen my credit card before too, so.
God, you get rid of this guy.
I heard he stole your headrest.
Yeah, I went on a trip with him, and he like stole my headrest 6 times or whatever. And each time, I'm like hiding in backseat behind Pascal and just being like, when I'd be like, can I have my headrest back, please, Moro? And he'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, Pascal, can you pass it to me? And Pascal just like grabs it and gives it back, you know, and like. This is, you know, Pascal at the time was like this kid who's like 20 years younger than Moro, but he's like 20 years more mature. Anyways, that was a little bit of a tangent there. But yeah, I mean, I don't like playing decks like this where just one card completely hoses you, and you cannot beat. If your opponent has this one card, you're just dead. You cannot win. And, I mean, having the sideboard plan helps, but it's still, again, it's still going to be rough. If your opponent is packing graveyard hate, it's going to be hard to win. Because especially with your manaless version, you're really all in. Like, you know, you're not, there's no like, yeah, what's your backup plan? Your backup plan is you're like, don't have any permanents in play at all, and your hand is gone because you've discarded it all.
Like, also, like,
you just basically, all you need is like, the cheese stands alone or whatever they made Baron Glory in play and you just win. That's basically what you need. But man, if only there was some way to reanimate enchantments. Or even better, man, the deck should play one Academy Rector and one Baron Glory. So you can like,
oh my God.
you can sack three guys to Dread Return your Academy Rector then you can flash back Cabal therapy, sacking it, find Baron Glory, and then just pass the turn. See, that is a good use of two sideboard slots, okay? I would play that instead of, like, Lawan and Akroma. Because that's just awesome. You get to, like, you know, you crush your opponent in game one, then you clearly see it, like, doesn't have anything in game two, and you're just like, okay, whatever, I'll just go for the rub-ins. And then you're just like, Baron Glory, ha, 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 ha. And you're like, what? Judge? And you're like, yeah, it's all good. Don't worry, brah. But, yeah. I think this deck's pretty consistent because you have just so many dredgers, which is a problem I had with dredge before, that you really was kind of like a three-card combo where you needed land, which you didn't have that many of. You needed dredge card, which you didn't have that many of, and you needed discard / draw outlet. Sometimes you needed two, like a way to discard it and then a way to draw it, like an ink and a breakthrough, right? And I just found, well, there's too many cards, and you like, that's why you have to mulligan too much, so. This deck, however, I think it's pretty good, and it's pretty cheap to make, I think, so I would recommend this to someone starting out in Legacy who, you know, feels kind of combo-oriented. Mm-hmm. Playing Dredge is very different from playing, like, real Magic. Like, you're not playing real
Magic. You have to accept, like, that. Don't actually play Magic, you just discard and dredge.
Like, basically, your hand is... Your hand, your mama's teeth, and your best friend are all your graveyard, okay? But that's the trick to playing that deck. You have to, you know, just be like, yeah, how many cards in hand? None. How many lands? None. Just like, how many cards in your graveyard? A whole lot of good stuff, baby.
Yeah.
You know? That's it. Sometimes you'll have, like, nothing, and then you just suddenly, like, dredge, and you get, like, three Narcomoebas, and suddenly, hey, look, dredge return, kill you. And sometimes you just be like, where are my Narcomoebas? Where are my pretties? The thing is, I suggest you try Dredge. Maybe you like it, you know? And no, I'm not recommending you to try, like, weird drugs. But
yeah, Dredge is, like, really hard to play optimally.
Yeah, someone good playing Dredge. Like, oh, go ahead.
No, it's just someone good playing Dredge is, like, completely different than someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the, this deck feels a lot more spiky, like spike-oriented kind of stuff, because like you really have to think about what your next play is going to be. Because like the original, you know, like traditional dredge, you're like, man, like I need a discard outlet, like a dredger and a draw engine, and you're like, I'm fine. And this one, you got to really think, like, you're like, God, can I get there with this Gigapede? Like, can I slow dredge this guy, like with a Shambling Shell and a Gigapede or whatever? So this one definitely seems a lot more interesting. Like, I might even give it a shot. I mean, yeah. I'll just stick with no rug for Pittsburgh, but
so, know, I mean, definitely, don't give Dredge credit. I think even with old Dredge, you still had to know that if you had Breakthrough, Lion's Eye Diamond, Dredge card, land,
oh, you're
supposed to play Lion's Eye Diamond, then play Breakthrough in response, sack and Lion's Eye Diamond, discard your Dredge card, and then dredge a whole bunch and hit it.
That is a really good feeling, though.
Instead of being like Medina and like, oh man, what am I going to do? I guess I'll play my Breakthrough. Discard all his stuff.
Like the ones that I like are the people who are like, you know, Lion's Eye Diamond and Breakthrough, and then I'm like, do you have any other effects? And they're like, nope. And I'm like, resolves. And they're like, oh wait, I meant to respond by like breaking this Lion's Eye Diamond, and then it's just you get a disaster going.
Like, no, sir.
I watched Medina play Dredge, and like he boarded out ball therapy, and I was like, dude, what are you doing? There's like this one turn where like he's playing my friend, and my friend likes to make these crazy weird decks with like, you know, like main deck Tabernacles and like, you know, Living Wish with a bunch of crazy crap. And of course he gets paired against Medina, and like Medina rolls him in game one. And in game two, he's like, I look at him sideboarding. He's like, man, I need these Chains of Vapors for like, you know, whatever. And he's like boarding out stuff, and he's like, he takes out all four Cabal Therapies. And there was a point in the game where if he just flashed back Cabal Therapy once, he would have gotten the extra tokens to Dread Return. And I was just like, come on, man, like this is killing me. Yeah, don't be a Medina.
Actually, you know, I was away for 2 weeks, as I had mentioned, with my journey through the manas of Canada. And, you know, I come back, and then Medina somehow went like X2 or whatever, Star City Open. I'm like, what the fuck? What happened? Like,
you played a Jury T deck, man.
Did I accidentally re-enter Bizarro World? It's like, Medina's like, you know, like above average player. He's like, yeah, I'm above average. And cards, you know, I always borrow decks. And like, foil cards, screw that, man. Foreigns cards? Ugh, I only play English cards, bro. You know?
Like, I have so many foils in front of me, it's unreal.
And then KYT's like, everybody thinks KYT's an asshole. It's like, you know? KYT's not in charge of Mana Deprive anymore, it's just Brother Eye.
Bad.
But, you know, apparently nothing else seems to be different. The only really weird thing that after I came back was, you know, that the Medina was starting to win a Magic. So,
yeah. Yeah, he went X2 and then he scooped to a guy in the ninth round because he was like, yeah, I'm just like, I'm tired, I want to trade. And I was like, come on, dude, like one more round and you could have made top 16. But, I mean, he was more content to trade. The deck I heard was really good though, so that's another consideration I'm making if I do want to play standard.
Yeah, I think actually the Sammy T rule that Sammy T taught me is that whenever a giant donk wins with the deck, you know, or does really well with the deck, then you should play that deck.
Yeah.
So shout out to Jonathan Medina again.
Yeah, shout out. I mean, we do have a shout out to him because he's on vacation. He's kind of dogging us right now, right?
So. He's like, yeah, I'm in the quietest house in the cottage. I can't really Skype tonight, guys. Sorry. It's really quiet here. There's only the sounds of the frogs and my breathing through my large nostrils. Whatever.
I used to follow that rule, Alex. Not follow the rule, but like pay attention to that until like our commentating experience, and it's just like, you know, whatever.
You learn that basically everybody's a donk.
Yeah, just because they win doesn't mean, you know, like it could just be like the other player missing the way out or just playing. What's that card to kill the Tarmogoyf?
Dismember.
Yeah. Like, could be so many things, so I don't take it.
Yeah, everyone's just god awful.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Can't. Just because a bad player goes well, it could just be because he played against worse players.
So, talking about other decks, a bit more on track here. The third place deck, Junk Depths. So, you know, it's got some normal junk things. Mox Diamond, Dark Confident, Night of the Relic, Ray Tarmogoyf, Vampire Hexmage. Oh, wait. Vampire Hexmage.
Just so, to kill Jace, right?
For sure. I mean, honestly, I would not be surprised if it was there just to kill Jace. However, I believe it has a second purpose.
Is there a synergy to be had?
Combos with Dark Depths, of which the deck plays one copy in the main and one in the sideboard, and four Living Wish.
That card's pretty expensive.
Yeah, I guess he couldn't afford that many along with his, like, Wastelands and Rocks, Diamonds, and whatever. But yeah, and four Thoughts. He's four Mental Misstep.
That's so pretty interesting.
So basically, it seems to have happened, guys. Even non-blue decks are playing Mental Misstep now. So get your copy.
You can hardcast them.
Yeah, you can hardcast it off of, what?
Mox Diamond?
I guess. That seems like what you want to do, guys. Be like, oh man, turn one, land, Mox Diamond, discard land, go, and they're like, spell, and you're like, huh, tap it for blue. Tap, blue, Mental Misstep you. And you're like, they're like, oh man, I was hoping you'd pay two life for that, you know? So,
yeah, so Misstep's pretty good in this deck because it like really dies to swords on the Dark Depths or whatever. So it's pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty cool. The deck itself also has swords as well. And I think just like there's just so many good one drops in Legacy that you want to be mental misstepping things.
So how does this look?
This deck? It's pretty reasonable. I mean, it has the junk shell. The real question is like, is junk good? Right. Yeah. That's the question you have to ask yourself, right? Like, because you have to ask yourself that, and then the second question is Vampire Hexmage Dark Depths in a junk shell good? Because first you want to know that the junk shell itself is at least reasonable, because otherwise why are you playing this combo in this shell instead of another deck?
Right.
I mean, obviously, Knight of the Reliquary finding, sacking any land basically and being able to find Dark Depths is pretty cool. But, like, you know, I'd kind of rather just, you know, play a non-crappy deck if junk was bad. But I think junk's reasonable. I'm not a huge Living Wish fan. I kind of... There's only one wish that I liked, and that was Cunning. I like Cunning Wish, and that was when you could find other Cunning Wishes with Cunning Wish. Just to add your storm count when you had obscene amounts of mana. Just like Cunning Wish for 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 Brain Freeze, screw you, you're dead.
But, I think if you're going to play like Dark Depths, you have to play the Living Wish in this version anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to be playing Dark Depths, this is probably the list to be playing Dark Depths in.
Yeah.
Would I recommend this to somebody who I actually liked? Probably not. So, Mark Sun, you should try it out next week. No.
I mean, with my luck, you know, with me freaking out before tournaments, that might be it.
See, that's the problem, Mark Sun. You keep blaming things on luck. Here's what you should do. Instead of trading, try practicing.
Play standard.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, anybody want to playtest Legacy? Instead of, hey, anybody got Legacy staples?
What's your next event, Mark?
It'll be in Pittsburgh. It'll be in it'll be next week. So, I don't think anything major is going to happen, you know, to the metagame in Seattle for Legacy. So I think Noro can still make it to the top in Pittsburgh. So, but I don't know what to play for standard. I actually I listened to A-Team this week, and I wanted to play the podcaster deck because that actually seems like something that I would play.
Yeah, but I tried that deck, and it was pretty sick. I just went,
Stop trolling me.
No, honestly.
Every card in the deck is like the 10 worst cards in standard.
But they work so well together. Like, I love playing bad cards that work well together, and my opponent's like, plays all these cards like Stoneforge, Jace, and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to play my bad card, and my other bad card, and my other bad card. Oh, yeah, you're dead. It's like, I'll Birthing Pod, sack my Treasure Mage. Like, honestly, the deck looks like a draft reject. It's like, I drafted it under my sideboard, and you're just like, yeah, I'm not playing these. You can play them in your Type 2 deck instead. And Kelly's like, okay, I'll do a video. And then, no, but honestly, like, I really like, actually, the Birthing Pod makes it cool, because before I felt it had missed a level of consistency. And, like, because what happened when you didn't draw a Grand Architect before, right?
Yeah, I pretty much only lost to that deck when Birthing Pod gets online, and you can't do anything about it.
Like, you played, like, Grand Architect before, and the deck was, like, you know, good. And then suddenly there's these games where, like, you don't draw Grand Architect, or you play Grand Architect and they play Mana Leak, or you play Grand Architect and they play Go for the Throat, or you play Grand Architect and they play Lightning Bolt. Like, suddenly there's games where, like, suddenly you just die, because suddenly you don't have, like, all this billion mana, and you realize your deck's, like, Thrumming Birds and Enclave Cryptologists. You know? And, like, six drops a year, like, stuck in your... So, when you add Birth Pod, then suddenly, like, these Thrumming Birds, they too can live the dream and become a Grand Architect. And hey, look, you have so much mana, and look, you can convert this Thrumming Bird into a Treasure Mage, which, you know, can find you a, hey, guess what? A six-drop ridiculous bomb. And then you can turn that Treasure Mage into a Solemn Simulacrum, which finds you a land tapped. And then the next turn when you untap, you can turn that guy, the Solemn, into a five-drop. And you get to draw a card. Now, that's value. And you know Alex Hain likes value.
But it'd be funny, Alex, if you did, like, ship him a list for Pittsburgh and see how he did with it.
Oh, man, you know, maybe I will give you a Type 2 deck, Mark Sun.
All right. I mean, I'll definitely be up for playing whatever, so.
Maybe I will.
As long as it's not, like, mono red or something that I'm going to
Just play Cobblade, man.
The deck I've been playing in Type 2 for the past little while has been Pyromancer Ascension. I've been having some success with it. I've top 8ed every tournament I've played with it. I've only lost to three different people, all of whom have been qualified for Pro Tours, or Pro Tour, as in the case of Justin, because they were one of my losses. So,
I would love to see Mark play. Pyromancer. He'd be like, fuck.
Mark, you love two mana enchantments. Come on.
Didn't you lose to Ben Moore?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's for the Pro Tour.
No, he's just, I just felt that he should be qualified for the Pro Tour somehow, because that guy's really good.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's an Ottawa Shark. Hey, guys, so if you're against, like, fat kid Ben from Ottawa, watch out.
He's the only guy to beat me at that PTQ.
Yeah, the only mirror match Justin Richardson playing his Cobblade deck in a PTQ was his only loss.
That's right.
0% win percentage against Cobblade winning a PTQ. Must be nice.
Is.
But yeah, back to Legacy, which is a more fun format. There's a tournament.
Yeah, cool next.
There's in the top 8. I mean,
not really. A bunch of natural order decks.
There's like some natural order, which, you know, it's only natural that there should be some. And then,
can I ask Alex, what do you think in the Reanimator deck? There's a Platinum Angel.
So you don't like lose the game.
No shit.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, I mean, you just you can say you're at like one life, right? And then you have a reanimate, and you're like, ah, and an Entomb, and you're just like, ah, man, if only I could reanimate anything. And you're like, wait, why don't I have a freaking Platinum Angel in my deck?
Well, I think the
and then you Platinum Angel, and you reanimate it, and you're just like, huh, I lose 7 life, I'm at -7 or whatever. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I think the Platinum Angel is like, it's kind of redundant, I think, but like if you have it against Hive Mind, they don't have a lot of outs pre books to it. So like, I mean, Iona's probably strictly
better. They play
Slaughter
Pack, don't they?
Do they? Well,
they can also attack with Emrakul.
Justin, we're talking about more exciting ways to win, okay?
Attack with Emrakul is pretty fun. No? You don't think so?
Well, yeah, no. Then there's actually just no way that card should be in that deck.
There's no way.
I love how every card Mark finds like a reason for you guys to shut down, and he's like, "Yeah, you guys are right."
The real problem with Platinum Angel is like the other things that they, you know, they attack you or whatever, and you, or they can't attack you, and you're just like, you know, you still have like your life points. Platinum Angel, they attack you, you're at -8. You're like, yeah, it's cool, cool story. But the problem is, while you're saying cool story, you're like still have all these Force of Wills that you can't cast because you can't actually pay one life if you don't have one life. You have all these mental missteps, and you're like, oh man, these cost 1 blue? That sucks.
Shouldn't you just play like the Platinum Empyrean instead?
I mean, I kind of think you should. I don't know, it's pretty similar though. Though
unless you're scared of poison.
Yeah, well, I'm not that scared. I don't know, I'm pretty scared of poison actually. I just lost the poison again today in Type 2.
You suck.
I keep losing to the poison. Like, poison and mono red, those are.
Listener Elf, Brownswell?
I keep dying in a blaze of either burn spells or pump spells. You know? Where they, you know, basically like, yeah. I was in a situation today where the situation, you know, you're normally in against like a mono red deck is like, oh man, if he draws Lightning Bolt this turn, I die. But if he draws Burst Lightning, I'm still alive. If he draws Incinerate, I'm still alive. If he draws this other card, I'm still alive. And then obviously he just draws Lightning Bolt and kills you. So instead, I was against Poison. It's like, oh man, if he draws Mutagenic Growth, I'm good. If he draws any pump spell other than Giant Growth, which he's already played two of, I'm safe. He's like, draw. Activating off Nexus. Equip it with random boots. I'm like, both in response. He's like, guess what I drew? Giant Growth. I'm like, damn it. So, yeah. Poison. And if you guys think that's funny, that's not funny. But it was not the same guy, though. He was there. He was not playing
poison. He hasn't played poison type 2, I understand. So weird.
I don't understand. I think if you play poison, it should be a rule. You have to play it in draft, block, type 2, and legacy. And extended 2. So.
Who plays that format?
You, very soon, right, Mr. Pro Tour Justin Richardson?
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah, why are you sad? You
pro get to play. Tour legend.
Not yet. He hasn't actually. He has to go on the Pro Tour, and then he has to be half as awesome as you, Mark Sun.
That's not hard.
It certainly isn't. Oh.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
But But Justin, shouldn't you be happy to play Extended? You get to play with your good old friend Stoneforge Mystic and Jace, also known as Legacy Bros, and we're banned in Type 2, guys.
I'm like 99% playing Blue White, yeah. The deck's too sweet.
But yeah, this reanimate deck, I mean, the thing is, I think the guy didn't really do, like, a lot of things. People often just think one level deep rather than thinking the second level or the next level. So this guy's like, yeah, Platinum Angel, I reanimate that. I can't lose, man. I can't lose. And then. And then just, like, realize how much of their stuff it kind of shuts down and, like, how kind of awkward it is, especially when their opponent randomly has, like, you know, has, like, a Merfolk Coral Helm Commander leveled up and they can't even attack. And they just, like, stare at each other and just, like, yeah, you know? So, I don't know.
Mark says he knows this guy, right? He's your friend?
Yeah, yeah, he's my friend from Michigan.
And everybody's Mark Sun's friend, man. Mark Sun's
true, true.
Nice.
But yeah,
his mom taught him to be nice because otherwise she wouldn't let him out of his room.
We actually are on the same quote unquote like mini team or whatever. So we used to like we all used to play Landstill, and this was like 2 years ago, like when I started playing Magic. And he invited me to his forums with all his Michigan buddies. And yeah, I mean we've all branched out to different decks because like the pure blue white control decks are pretty crappy right now, but like. Yeah, I mean, we still hang out and talk on the forums a bunch.
So there's also again mono blue control got sixth place at the open, and again people I think went crazy. They're like, oh my god, energy field so good, guys. Energy
this
field
card is
sucks.
Garbage.
This card is bad. Do not play friends. Don't let friends play energy field. Okay, bros. Don't let other bros play energy field.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, the reason that deck wins is because of Back to Basics in the main. Like, there's three right. copies. Like, look at the mana bases of the top eight. It's very clear, like...
I think it wins because of Jace.
Well, yeah, and Jace. Yeah, I mean, Jace and
yeah, Back to Basics is pretty good right now.
It's like good luck getting out of that one if you ever get in that situation.
See, I think Energy Field, a lot of people expect it to be, like, a lock card, that it's going to, like, shut down your opponent and they're not going to be able to kill you or whatever. That is not what the card does. It buys you time. Like, you play it, and you just play a land, draw, go. It's kind of like what Standstill is supposed to do, you know, against someone who sucks. It's just like, yeah, a whole bunch of time walks plus Ancestral Recall. Sign me up. Energy Field is just like the same thing, except no Ancestral Recall. It's just like, yep. Oh, I guess you can... Freaking wasteland my fetch land and just put that in my graveyard and oh look,
yeah.
I'm now just dead to your attack. And it's like, oh, or I'll force of will any spell you play.
And, remember when that guy wastelanded his own land to try to kill anyone?
Yeah.
Well, last time this deck did well. Well, it was hilarious.
That's pretty funny. I mean, anyways, but guys, Back to Basics is good. Play Back to Basics. Play just
the feel bad.
Yeah, and just imagine what you can do if you freed up three slots in the main deck for not playing Energy Field. I mean, that's solid.
The thing is, I don't know if this deck can really, like... I think it might need the Energy Field, even though it's just not that good.
Yeah.
Just, like, don't expect it to be something that it isn't. It buys you time. That's what that card's supposed to do.
And the other issue is, like, it has horrible synergy with Jace, because they can't attack you... But they can attack.
No, they can attack you. It just prevent all damage.
They can attack, but like I mean, it doesn't protect Jace at all. So if Jace is out there, they attack Jace, they kill Jace, and then you lose the energy field anyways. I mean, it's not as ideal as most people like to think. And like my one friend who wound up losing to mono blue control, but like the one game that he got, he was playing Affinity and he had a Steel Sabotage in the sideboard, and he just waited for the guy to play a top, and it's like. You know, he plays a Steel Sabotage targeting the top, and it's like it's kind of a lose-lose because regardless of what you do, you're gonna lose your energy field. So like,
yeah,
I mean it's not a catch-all card. It's just one of those situational cards that you can buy, you know, two or three turns, like Alex said.
So yeah, again, I also wouldn't really recommend this deck. I don't know. I mean, it's cool if you've got
you
like blue cards.
Me?
No, I wouldn't, Mark Sun. Sorry, I would not recommend this deck to you.
Oh, really? I appreciate it.
No. man, despite all the crap I give you, Barkson, I actually kind of like you.
All right. Hey, there you go.
I just give everybody crap. That's better.
Because I think the whole podcast has been about trolling me, because I feel like I usually have a lot of success defending card decisions, but like today, man, it's been brutal.
You're not drunk enough, man.
It's like Platinum Angels, all right? Alex is like, no, it's not. It's terrible.
Oh, man. 15th place, burn deck wins. An original. What does that mean? Let's see if it's an original deck. Fire Blast, Lightning Bolt, Press Progress, Skirm, Lava Mancer, Lightning Bolt, Goblin Guide, Keldon Marauders, Lava Spike.
Man, there's a rug deck here. It's pretty sweet. It plays like one of my favorite cards ever. Bloodbraid Elf.
Woo!
That's awesome.
Does it play Ancestral Visions?
It does.
See, man, this Medina is ahead of the curve, guys. He thought of this deck a long time ago. He's like, yeah, I started playing Legacy. I put Bloodbraid Elf in a deck and Ancestral Visions. I was like, yeah, Bloodbraid Elf, Ancestral Visions. And then I started losing and I started playing real decks. Then I started trading because I was still losing.
Oh, this deck seems pretty sweet. I don't know how I'd actually play it, but
it's not as awkward as the other ones I've seen, because like some of the other lists I've seen have like days in them and stuff.
Yeah.
And you get to like 4 mana and you're like Bloodbraid Elf and you just cascade into a daze.
Yeah, there's no like dead cascade spells pretty much.
Yeah, that's the good part. I mean, you know, you don't really want to be like playing Bloodbraid Elf and cascading into a counterspell. That's not really what that card's supposed to do.
As I see that, there's like 7 counterspells on the sideboard.
Well, clearly you board out the Bloodbraid Elves, right?
Actually, well, like...
I remember an extended deck where there was like the deck from Magic League or whatever was blue, green, red, like,
like
Ancestral Visions and Bloodbraid Elf and, you know, Tarmogoyf and Grove of the Burn Willows and like awful, 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 awful mana. And then the deck like boards in like 4 negates and stuff, and it's just like, yeah, you keep Bloodbraid Elves in, they're just like too good not to play. You're just like Bloodbraid Elf into negate every time. Man, my worst bad beat story against Bloodbraid Elf was like, my opponent had one guttural response in his deck, and like the last possible turn he just drawn it in his upkeep, like, just so I countered my Cryptic Command, even though his deck had 4 Bloodbraid Elves and he cascaded and he had like 3 cards left in his library. Had to be that. Couldn't have Bloodbraid Elfed into it. Like, so awkward. So, I don't know.
I think we're going to wrap up.
I think we should probably wrap up. I don't know.
KYT's falling asleep.
Well, man, KYT's had a long day, and he had to record the A-team.
Alex, you were a superstar again for this episode, breaking down.
I'm always a superstar, but not as Mark's son.
But I'll start the shout-outs. Huge thanks to Alex for once again, after you know your break, you brought your A-game and more. Shout out to Mark's son. Always love to have you here. But hopefully someday you'll come back and talk about how you won a tournament or did well.
hopefully it'll be next weekend. So.
I'm sorry, that's just too funny though. KYT, like, because KYT's just really nice and he's like saying it really nicely. He's like, yeah, I really hope you do well. Instead, for me though, it just comes out as like he's really trolling him hard. It's just like, yeah, I hope you don't just like epically suck as much as you did this time, Mark's son.
Because it's so funny, and he loves it.
Like one of my biggest fans, Willie G. Myprez, you know?
I love that guy, man.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. Anyways, he's saying, you know, he's commenting on, I believe, on our last podcast, where he's like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Frank KYT in the Medina, and I really love the show. And it's like, yeah, thanks, guy. I don't really see what you did there. You know, I'm pretty dumb. Didn't figure that one out. But don't worry, guys. I actually like being hated, so just bring on the hate, please. More comments of like, get Alex off the show. He's so terrible. I hate his humor.
Are you like Scarface?
Huh?
Scarface? Like you have to be the bad guy?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we need a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, shoutouts.
It's not me. Who the hell is it going to be? Like you really?
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
People that hate KYT is like, man, him and his quiet Asian ways. You know,
him and his laughing.
Or we're going to be like Medina and his, like, laid-back Mexican attitude of, like, just put on your sombrero, bro, and we'll have tacos, you know, and a beer. Or, like, Frankie's like, yeah, let's have some poutine, you know? It's like, no, come on.
Dude, Alex is on a roll, man.
Yeah, he is. Okay, let me finish my shout-outs. Shout-outs to Justin. Glad to have you on your show. Good luck for the Pro Tour. Hopefully one of us... one of the friends that we all know ends up queuing for Philly as well. And, you know, I'm expecting you to do well at PT, so especially if you get to play Stoneforge and Jace.
I know. I'm so happy.
I expect great things, too, from Justin. Guys, watch out for him, okay?
He's a shark.
He's definitely top 10 Canadian players.
Shouts to Frank for like even giving us 15 minutes. Shouts to Joey that we had to cut him because he didn't read the chat for me to tell him to mute himself as he was typing really loud. So, but shoutouts for for his time and trying, and said he'll be a lot more prepared next time. So we'll be happy to welcome him whatever the next time is.
Mark? Probably gonna be never.
I guess shout out to you guys again for inviting me on. Like, we don't know why I come on this podcast, but when I do, I have a lot of fun. So
I think it's for Alex to educate you on Legacy. Something that
Alex
you should know more
Alex
than him.
Alex is gonna crush me, man. Like, today has been just so hard to get a card decision out. But I guess I can give some other shout outs, especially on Twitter. So I want to give a shout out to EJ Seltzer, of course. He started playing Legacy this week, and he seemed really excited about it. And he's a pretty cool guy. So I want to give a shout out to Ryan Molnar. His Twitter name is @hacks of the gallows, I think. And he actually donated me an EDH foil earlier, and it just got to the house today. So huge thanks to him. And then the last person I want to give a shout out to is Liam Kane. And Liam Kane, he's a really good player from the Los Angeles area, and he top aided SCG. I think it was one of the ones in that area. I think it was San Jose. So he top aided with Storm, and recently we've been talking on Twitter about No Rug and Blue White Stone. So his Twitter name is @StormIsFair, and that's all I got for this week, I guess.
Hmm. Justin.
Just shout out to you guys and to Frank for coming on, letting me come on. It's been pretty fun. We know it's really late. shout out to EG Seltzer, like Mark said. Really cool guy. Played Legacy this week for the first time. I had to beat him, but, that's it. And, shout out to anyone following me on Twitter. I need more followers, guys.
Same here.
That's it.
Alright, I'll do mine. Shout out to Mark's son, even though I was pretty harsh on him. It's because, you know, I'm used to battling with someone who puts up more resistance, you know? Jonathan Medina. And so, you know, Mark, you're not used to putting up that level of, you know, of how should I say it? You know, pig headedness. Okay, let's go with that. I push pretty hard, so thank you for not being a giant dick in return. Thanks for Justin as well for being on. Even though I know you've wanted to be on forever and just been like, can I be on the cast? Can I be on the cast? Can I be on the cast? Like annoying little brother or whatever. And, you were certainly on the cast. You were fine. It's always learned something from you as well. And, yeah, shout out to all you guys listening, because you're all awesome, even though you all hate me, which is sweet. So, yeah, even special shout out as to Willie G. Myprez, the podcast king fan or whatever, you know, the groupie or whatever. Actually, I have a groupie story. I actually found out that the Crazy Talk does have groupies. So I was in this bar, and I was just chatting this chick. And she's like, hey, you know, I recognize your voice from somewhere. Are you on a Magic podcast?
I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, Crazy Talk? Says, yeah. So then I was banging her the other night, and then she's like, oh, Frank. I'm like, oh, shit.
That's pretty good, Alex.
That's just about it. Shout out, thanks Joey for your appearance. You know, if you were a Magic Pro, you'd probably get an appearance fee even just for showing up. I don't know. That's about it. can't really think of anything right now.
All right. Well, hopefully next week we'll be in full force. Me, you, Frank, Medina. Actually forgot our shout out. Extra shouts for Justin, Nick LeBlanc, Lansdale, and EJ Seltzer for that lunch at Schwartz. And we hope we can, like, extra shout out to Lansdale for coming out.
Oh,
to
yeah. Shout out to Chris Lansdale. That guy's awesome.
Yeah, he was legit.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sad that I missed him.
You'll see him at
GTA. I've seen this video of, like, you, Davies, Blondie, and Lansdale, like, having a beer and, like, bass on there, too. And, like,
there's,
you know, I'm
this?
Like, man, I missed out. Fuck. Like, why'd I have to be, like, you know, being eaten by bugs or whatever? Like, why do I have to go on these trips to gather up my mana, you know?
All right. See you guys next week.
Oh, sorry. Wait, hold on. Oh, what? No, don't stop it. I forgot. I do have a shout-out for Christopher Walton, the guy who played the Platinum Angel in the Random Inner deck. I do want to give him a shout-out because, you know, I've actually learned a lot about Legacy from him. You know, not playing Platinum Angels in my Reanimator deck, but just in general about theory and control. So I do want.
Oh, I thought what you said was that what you learned from him was not to play Platinum Angels in your Reanimator
deck.
Oh,
no. Well,
okay,
because
that's
not
what
along
I
those
from
lines,
him.
But you know, he has taught me a lot about control, and I do appreciate him taking me into his playgroup and sharing some information with me. So.
Would he hate us if he listened to this cast?
Probably not. I mean, he's a. You know, he's a pretty laid back.
Don't worry, you can hate me. I absorb it and it makes me stronger.
But his Twitter name is at Emperor Top Deck. So, you know, if you guys are listening, feel free to follow him for a lot of good Legacy information.
Okay, I'll be tweeting, "We talked about you in this episode."
But don't listen to it, just in case.
Okay. Talk to you guys next week.